Okay, today's daf is Baba Basra daf Tzadi Test 99, and we are on Tzadi Ches Mabez, as we continue discussing issues of Hamokar Peiros. There's a couple of daf left here to this sixth parak of Maseches Baba Basra. So yesterday we had the Mishnah, which describes if somebody sells a place to their friend, what is the assumption in terms of the dimensions of a house, in terms of the dimensions of an extension, different types of houses, troklin, bayis katan, bayis gadol, measurements of the heichal, is the heichal able to be a model or not? That was discussed in the Mishnah. Now we continue, four lines from the bottom. Some unique inyanim that come up on today's daf, a little bit of, we might call it agarata, non-halachic, but it's semi-halachic, but as we'll see, we talk about some of those issues. Okay, here we go. Rabbi Chanina, nafik le-kiryasa. Rabbi Chanina went out to the kiryat, to the city, ramule kiryat dadi, and he has to steer a contradiction regarding the measurements that were in the Beis HaMikdash. Right? We know the Mishnah described about the Beis HaMikdash's height being half of the combined length and width. And that's what one of the Tanaim said, and that's how high a house has to be if one accepts to build it or one accepts the area. So that was that's how we're getting into this discussion. So says the Pasuk in Sefer Malachim, right? We know we have three different descriptions of the measurements, really four. We have the Mishkan described in the Torah, we have Bayis Rishon described in Sefer Malachim, as we're about to quote from, that Shlomo HaMelech built. We have the second Beis HaMikdash described in Meseches Midos in Mishnayos, and we have the third Beis HaMikdash described in Sefer Yechezkel. So says the Gemara, Ksiv v'habayis asher bana hamelech Shlomo l'Hashem. The house that Shlomo HaMelech built, that is described in such detail in the sixth parak of Malachim Aleph, shishim ama erko, v'eshim ama rachbo, v'shloshim ama komaso. Those are the dimensions. 30 height, that's the one important for us, as we just described before, v'ksiv, but it says, describing the dimensions of the Kodesh Kadashim, v'lefnei hadvir, esrim ama orech, v'eshim ama rocha, the Esrim Amos Komaso, right? Only 20 Amos high. We don't assume that the Kodesh Kodashim was shorter than the rest of the structure, than the Heichal in front of it. So therefore, the question is, the steer is, why does one Pasuk say it's 30 Amos high and one Pasuk say 20 Amos high? Answers the Gemara, Omar Lahu, Kika Chashiv, Misfas, Kruvim, Volum Ulamala. Right, when it says 20, it's only measuring the airspace above the wings of the Kruvim. Shlomo HaMelech, as we know, as described in Sefer Malachim, not as described in, there are no, not described by the Mishkan. In the Mishkan, we only have the Kruvim that are attached to the Kapores, the cover of the Aron, which are all miksha, made from one unit, going on top of the Aron of the box. But the Navi describes, and the Rishonim, the Radak, and others in Sefer Malachim assume that it must be that Shlomo received this Baruch HaKodesh, B'nevuah, even though it doesn't say it, that he had this Tzivoy, but anything he built, based on a Pasuk in Divrei Hayamim, Shlomo HaMelech was not allowed to build any part of the Beis HaMikdash without having the command. Alai Haskil, there's a pasuk that has to be specifically as was prophesied to him. So we assume he also had a nevuah to build these huge kruvim standing lifelike from the floor all the way up. And their wingspan crossed over. We'll talk about in a few minutes their wingspan, the measurements of it. But their wings were up 10 amos above the ground. So if they're 10 amos above the ground, so that's why the 20 amos above the 10, that's what the pasuk is describing. The 20 amos above the wingspan up until the ceiling, right? Up the Tivul Amal. You look on the Rashbam, describes that what we just said, the fourth to last line in the Rashbam, Shahakruvim Shal Shlomo, Shnayim Hayu Omdim Alakarka. The Kruvim that Shlomo built were two large figures built on the standing on the ground. Echad miyamin ha'aron eitz al kosel ma'aravi. One on the right of the aron, next to the western wall, the further wall from when you went in from the doorway on the east. The echad mismolo and one on the left. Veruman eser and their height, the wingspan was at 10. Kedechsiv behediyah b'malachim v'kanfeyem perusos mikir lakir. And as we'll talk about soon, their wings went from wall to wall. Kanafa achas nogea bakir tsafona. One wing touched the northern wall. V'kanaf chaveiro kanogea bakir tsromi. And the other wing of its the other kruv touched the southern wall. Nimsa meirashia kruvim v'lamala esrimama adagag. And therefore, you see there are 20 amos from the wings up until the roof. The osen shel Moshe al gabe hakaporis hayu. But Moshe Rabbeinu's kruvim, they were just the ones that were attached to the kaporis. They were much smaller. But Yeshlomo HaMelech's were large. Also described in the in the Rishonim there in Sefer HaMelachim. How Shlomo HaMelech was how was he able to do it? Because he had a tziva to do it. But, and therefore it must be that there's no problem of creating an image. That's asked already by the Rishonim in Parshas Truma. But how do we create the Kruvim? So the answer is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told us to create the Kruvim. This is part of Tzivi Hashem. Losas L'chapesel is part of Avodah Zara. Anything that's part of the Avodah that HaKadosh Baruch Hu commands, obviously is not within that Isser. So that is the answer to the Stira. One is measuring the entire height, and one is measuring from the wings up. But now the simple, obvious question is, what do we need to know that for? Why do we need to know the 20 amos? Right, we know there were 10 amos high, we can figure it out. So, my kamashmalan, what's the chiddush? Why does one pasuk have to tell me specifically the wingspan of 20 amos above the airspace above the wings? Ha kamashmalan, lamata kilamala. It's to compare under to above. Mala mala ein meshamish klum. Just like above the wingspan, it was empty. It was just airspace. It didn't serve any purpose to house anything. Aflamata ein meshamish klum. So to under the wingspan, there was airspace. It didn't take up any space. And this relates to what we know from Rabbi Levi. Messiah Lele Rabbi Levi, Dom Rabbi Levi, Vitamer Rabbi Yochanan, Dover Zem, Mesores Biadenu, Meavosenu. This is a Mesorah that we have. Makama Aron, Ukruvim, Eno Min Hamida. As the Gemara says, the Chazal say, that the place of the Aron and the Kruvim did not take up any space. It was physical, but magically, miraculously, it didn't take up any space. Tanin Amihachi, Aron Sha'asa Moshe, Yeshlo Revach Eser Amos, Lakol Ruach Varuach. Right, as the Brisa also says, the Aron that Moshe Rabbeinu made, there was 10 Amos, right? Space on each side of it. But wait a minute, it was only 20 Amos long. So how could it have 10, if you measure from the Aron to the wall, how could it be 10 Amos to each side if the whole area was 20 Amos? The Aron has to take up some space itself. That's the miracle. Miracle is that it didn't take up any space. Right? Yesh lo ruach, revach, eser amos, lakal ruach, varuach. Let's stop there for a moment. We mentioned before the beautiful thought of the Lubavitch Rebbe, that he mentions on this chazal, makama aron, ukruvim edem in amida. He mentions on the pasuk in Sefer Yehoshua. Yehoshua ben Nun in Perak Gimel on, getting ready for the 10th of Nisan, when Klal Yisrael went into Eretz Yisrael. Unlike all of the other times that Bnei Yisrael traveled in the Midbar, where first Yehuda went first, Yehuda's group, and then Yehuda and the other two Shvatim, and Reuven and the other two Shvatim, and then the Aron, and then, I don't remember, Ephraim, I think, and then Dun. Right? Those are the four heads of the groups of the Shvatim. The Aron went in the middle, and the Levium went around the Aron. But right when they went into Eretz Yisrael, the Aron went first. Right, the Kohanim put their feet into the water, and then the water split, and then the Aron flew across, and then Bnei Yisrael went across, and then the Kohanim took their feet. I'm sorry, the Aron didn't go. The Aron stood there. Then after the Kohanim took their feet, they took a step back, and the Yarden closed again. Chazal say the Aron flew through the air with the Kohanim and ended up on the other side. So there, though, you see that into the water, the first was the Aron, as the pasuk says, Parakimel Pasagimel. I'm sorry, also, by the way, I didn't mention that today's shiur is in memory of Mira Bazuka, the mother of Mindy Orlinsky, sponsored by the Orlinsky family. Again, all the Divrei Torah should be Le'ilu Nishmasa. So back to Yoshua. Va'itzav o'esa om le'mar. Kiros chemes aron v'rsa shem elokechem. Va'akohanim alavim nosim oto. Va'atem tisu mimkomchem. Va'halachtem acharav. Go after, follow the aron. So ask the Lubavitcher Rebbe, why is here all of a sudden we have to follow the Aron? The Aron's out in the middle. Valachta Macharav. Kol zman shehoyu Yisrael b'midbar, chayehem haya b'ikir ruchani. As we know in the Midbar, Bnei Yisrael's life was very spiritual. Bread from heaven, water from something, right, that was not natural. Lechem min hashamayim, amayim min ha-be'er. Begadim, their clothing grew with them. When Bnei Yisrael went into Eretz Yisrael and started a more natural existence, Zriya Kitzira, Tzivos Hashem, Hashem says, follow the Aron. What's the Aron? It is a natural existence. But as we know, anyone who lives here, anyone who knows anything about Eretz Yisrael knows it's a supernatural existence. It looks natural, but it's supernatural. Follow the Aron. What's the Aron? The Aron is the symbol of that idea. The Aron is made up of raw materials. There's gold, there's wood, it's molten, it's created as we know, but Eina Min Amida. It doesn't take up any space. and it flew through the air to bring the Kohanim. It's all natural, but it's supernatural. That's the message of living in Eretz Yisrael, says the Lubavitcher Rebbe. Afshu banui kulomi yisodos chomri and bechalzos, ha'aro noseyes nosav. Makam ha'aram ena min amida. Hainu hischabrus ha'teva im lamala min ha'teva. V'zesh amar lam Yoshua, v'halachtem acharav. Go follow the Aaron. This is your existence for now on. Kein tia han hagaschem ba'aretz. That's quoted in the here in the Biurei Chasidus from the Likutei Sichos in Sefer Yehoshua. But that's the Chazal of Makam Ha'aron Vahakruvim Eina Min Amida. It doesn't take up any space. So now we just learned, not only does the Brisa say, Rabbi Levi, it didn't take up any space side to side, as we learned, but also it didn't take up any space up down in terms of the measurements. Okay, we continue. Says the Gemara, Amar Ravnai, Amar Shmuel. Kruvim b'neis hayu omdim. The kruvim as well were b'neis hayu. They stood in a miraculous way. Shenemar, as the pasuk says in Malachim, v'chamesh amos kenaf hakruv ha'achas, v'chamesh amos kenaf hakruv ha'shenis. Each wingspan when it was open was 5 amos wide. 5 amos, each one. Eser amos miksos kenafav ha'ksos kenafav. 10 amos. 10 amos across. Gufayo hechavi kaimi. But one second, the Kodesh Kodashim was only 20 amos long, and the wingspan of each kruv was 10 amos long, and the kruvs touched the walls, the north side and the south side. So how is it? So what about the goof of the kruv? The body had to take up some space. It must be it was miraculous. It must be Elish Babina B'neis Hein Omdin. It must be they stood in a miraculous way. Good. Ask the Gemara a number of questions. Maybe not. Maybe it's not miraculous, right? We only say miraculous if we were forced to say miraculous. Like, we know, interesting, here we're talking about the Aron and the Kruvim, we know the Gemara says elsewhere, the Luchos, beginning of Maseches Megillah, right? The Luchos were miraculous. Why? Because we know the Luchos didn't have writing on them, but it was engraved. The letters were chiseled out, and there was airspace. Right, when we looked at the Luchos, there was air. It was chiseled out through and through. The miracle was that you could read it on both sides. And the miracle was the Mem Sofit and the Samach. Right, because there, if you chisel out the letter, what about the middle? What about the middle of the Samach and the middle of the Mem Sofit? Right, they have a circle. You have a square there. So how does that stay up in midair? That was a miracle. That was a miracle that was described in the Gemara. The Gemara there talks about, that's a raya, that if we assume that, that shows that the Mem Sofit already existed then. Remember the Mansapach, the letter, the Sofit letters, the Gemara talks about when exactly they were created, when they were made known, but that's so you see even the Luchos were made in a miraculous way, right? That's what we say, that which side of the Luchos were heavier? Which side? So we know the right side, assuming it's 5 and 5, that's what we assume based on the Torah Shebaal Peh, the right side had a lot more words, but that means it was lighter, because it was less rock, less stone, because it was all chiseled out. Okay, back to the Gemara. So the Gemara says, Maskav Labaya, maybe it was not miraculous. There are 5 other ways that I could think of, that the wings could be totally across 10 amos, and yet, you didn't need space for the bodies. Why? Maskav Labaya, Vidilma Bolton Katarna Golem Avikaimi. Maybe the wings went out of the backs of the Kruvim, from the middle of their bodies, so it overlapped. So the wingspan could be across, but the bodies were also in there. No problem. Maskav Rava Vidilma Zeshalo Keneged Zavikaimi. Maybe the wings went across, but again, the wings of one kruv did not directly connect the wings of the other kruv next to each other. Maybe they were not exactly, in front of each other. They were next to each other, and therefore there was space for both of them. Maskav Ravada Bar Yaakov, Rav Acha Bar Yaakov, Vidilma Balach Sona Havikaimi. Maybe they were on a diagonal. Haha, the Rashbam gives us a picture, just to make sure we know what we're talking about here. Right, the Rashbam, bottom left. Maybe it was diagonal. Why is he so, giving us a picture? Maybe because the Ritva argues with him. Right, the Ritva quotes, what does it mean, Balach Sona Havikaimi? The Ritva says, I don't think that the possibilities that the Kruvim were standing diagonally. They were for sure standing straight. They were standing from north-south. The question is, were their wings diagonal? But they were standing north, south, says the Ritva, against that picture of the Rashbam. V'linira lefum sugya, he says, I'm sorry, wrong one. He says, where's the balachon avikaimi? Pirish Rashbam, he quotes the Rashbam. V'eina mechuvar, delukulayama lekosel ma'aravi hayu omdim prusin, bikir darom lekir tzafon. Elachi perusho, ki gufa kruvim hayu omid yashar, v'kanaf shekol echan mehem balachon, eser amos shel kosel. Okay, Machlokas, the Rashbam, and the Ritva about that detail. So again, there was a way that they didn't have to be miraculous. Maskev Larafuna Breid Rav Yeshua, Vidilma Besa Me'iloi Ravach. Maybe as you got higher in the Kodesh Kadashim, then it got wider. Maybe it was only 20 Amos on the bottom. But if you go higher, maybe it was wider. Maskev Larapapa, Vidilma Mekev Avikayef Yadayu. Right, maybe they were a little bent. Right, Rashbam, Haknafim Atzmam Kfufinheim Ka'adam Shekofef Yadomat. Like your hand is a little closed into the fist position. So maybe the kruvim were a little bent. They weren't flat. Maskev Laravashi, the Dilma Shalchufei Havei Mishalchufi. What does that mean? Also, Rashbam says, Ka'adam Shechovekes Yadav. Maybe like a person, has his hands folded. So maybe the kruvim weren't totally flat. So anyway, all of these questions are on the idea that you are forced to say that the kruvim and the wings were also b'neis hayomdim. That is could be argued on. The fact that, as we said before, that revach eser amos l'kol ruach, that's, none of these questions go on that. But in terms of the wingspan and the body, so that's what all of these questions have to do with. So ketzad hayomdim. So now we get to some famous ideas. How were the kruvim standing in the Kodesh Kadashim? Remember, this is all bias Rishon. Right? By Sheni, the Kodesh Kadashim was empty. Right? It was empty. They were buried in the times of Yoshio HaMelech way before the Churban. He already foresaw, and therefore it was buried underneath. That's what we know. All of the pictures of the Romans taking away of the Kalim, whether on the Arch of Titus or any other picture, it never has them carrying the Aron. Right, has them carrying the menorah and carrying the other kalim, but it does not have them carrying the aron, because the aron armasora is that the aron is still there under the Kodesh Kadashim, along with the aron stick and all, along with a bottle of man and the Sefer Torah that Moshe wrote. So that is all there. But in the first Beis HaMikdash, they were there. So Kesen Einom did. How did they stand there? Rabbi Yochanan v'Rabbi Lazar Machlokas Chad Amar Pneim Ish El Achiv. One says they were looking at each other. Ish El Achiv. And the other opinion says, no, they were looking east. They were looking when you walked in to the Kodesh Kadashim, they were facing you. Machlokes. They each have a pasuk that is the basis for their shita. So the question is, what does the other opinion do with the other one's pasuk? Ulamanda Amar Pneim Ish Elachiv, according to the one who says that they were facing each other, Haksiv, what do you do with the pasuk in Divra Hayamim? Ufneihem Labayis, their faces were east to the front of the door. Lo kasha kan bezman she Yisrael osin ritzono shel makom. Kan bezman she ein Yisrael osin ritzono shel makom. It depends if Klal Yisrael were following the ratzon of Hashem. When they were following the ratzon of Hashem, simple understanding, right? They were facing each other, showing the love, the chiba, miraculously. But when they weren't doing the ratzon of Hashem, then they faced front. We'll stop there for, let's just finish, because there's a lot we're going to talk about, so let's just finish up to the Mishnah. Ulamanda Amar Ufaneim Labayis, Haksiv, Ufaneim Mishal Achiv. What about, according to the opinion that says they were facing front, what do you do with the Pasuk that says they were facing each other? Right, that was talking about, that's not about the Mishkan, that's from Shmos. Dimitzadadei Atzdudei. They were kind of like facing each other a little bit and facing front a little bit. Kind of a little of both. Ditanya Unkulis Hager Amar. As the Brisa says, Unkelis Hager tells us, Kruvim Maisat Sa'atsuim Heim. They were like children. Umitsudadim Pneim Ketamad Aniftame Rabo. And when a Talmud, a child, leaves a Rebbe, he kind of walks a little backwards, walks a little diagonal away from him, looking at him, not looking away from him. So that's how the Kruvim look. It was a little of both. Just a little backwards, just one Unkelis Hager, right? We know the story of Unkelis Hager in Mesechas Avodah Zarah, Daf Yud Aleph. Unkelis is the, is one of the sources for one of the earliest sources for what we do to a mezuzah. Unkelis Hager is described of Avodah Zarah Yud Aleph. Unkelis Bar Klonimus Igayer. Unkelis converted. Shadar Kesar Gunda Deromoya Basrei. The Caesar was very upset the Roman Caesar. Unculus must have been a very high-ranking officer, and it was very public that he converted to Judaism in the days of the Romans. What a busha, right? So they would try to get him back. So the Caesar sent a group of army soldiers. Mashchinu bekroi. He started talking to them about psukim, igayer, and he converted. So he into psukim, right? Like here, Unculus Hagir gets shot in the psukim. So there, he started talking to them about psukim, and he converted them. Hadashada gundar dromay achrina. The Caesar sends another group. Amar lehu lo timru levelo midi. Don't talk to him. Don't talk to him in Torah. Kavi shakli azlo, when they came, he said, okay, can I talk to you about life, not about Torah? So they said, sure, okay. And then he talked about who in the army serves who. The private serves the officer, and the officer serves the general, and the general serves the five-star general. They all serve each other as you get higher and higher. HaKadosh Baruch Hu serves us. Hashem olech lefneim yomam. Right, the Amud Anan, Amud Eish. They're like, wow, Igayer Kula, they all converted. So then the Caesar says, okay, one more time. He says, don't talk to them about anything. Don't open up your mouths. Just bring him to me. And what happens as they're walking out the door, Kinakidu Ba'azli, Chazim Mezuz Tadimanan Cha Pischa, Unkula sees the mezuzah on his door, Osiv Yade Alei. He puts his hand on it. That's the earliest source that we have of doing something. Kissing the mezuzah, looking at the mezuzah, Osiv Yade Alei. He puts his hand on the mezuzah. Right, the Ramon Yeredeya in Hilchas Mezuzah quotes the minag of looking up at the mezuzah, putting your hand on it, and he quotes Me Unkel Sager of Azori Yadalf. Right, that comes from this story. Farmalu Mai Hai, and they say, what are you? They couldn't hold back. What are you putting up your hand up on the? Sometimes we as Orthodox Jews do things that people look at us like, what are you doing? We come out of a bathroom in Chutz Laaretz and we're mumbling things. People don't know what we're doing, right? So they have to ask. Here, he put his hand up on the doorway. What are you doing? So Mai Hai. Amrulei, Amalon Atz. So they say, or he, the version that we have is, it's a question of whether he asked them or they asked him, guess what I'm doing? On the side has another girsa, Achich, he smiled. Either way, he got them, they took the bait. And they said, wow, what? So he says, Minhagu Shalolam, Melech Basav Adam Yoshev Mi Bifnim, Yavad Abishar Nozom Mi Bachutz. Usually the secret service are outside and the president is inside. Pidol Kadosh Baruch Hu, Avadav mi befnim behu mishamer mi achutz. Kadosh Baruch Hu stays outside. Hashem yishmar tseischo v'echa me'atov yad olam. Igayer, they all converted. Suvla shadav basre, the Caesar gave up. Okay, but that was Unkel Sager, great Gemara, Avodah Zarah, Daf Yud Aleph. So anyway, that's what he quoted, the answer to this stira. But now let's go back to the previous line. So again, the Gemara says that the Kruvim had different positions based on what we were doing. Our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They were facing each other when we were doing the Ratzon Hashem. They were not facing each other when we were not doing the Ratzon Hashem. The Rashbam points out that this was a miracle. The natural state, how did Moshe Rabbeinu, let's say we're talking about the Pasuk also in Truma, how did Moshe Rabbeinu make the Kruvim? Facing each other. That was the natural state. But when we weren't doing the Ratzon Hashem, they miraculously turned away from each other. That's what the Rashbam says. If you look under the picture, the second wide line under the picture. A male and a female who love each other. Amazing. It's a simon that Hashem loves us. That's how they were originally made. Right, and when we weren't doing Ratzon Hashem, it was miraculous. The Marsha points out that it makes sense, though, and it fits, that the Pasuk in Truma is the one that says, Penem Ishal Achiv. Because Bizman Moshe Rabbeinu, we were always Ratz, at least in general, with Moshe Rabbeinu, was Ratzon Hashem. The Pasuk elsewhere, Divar Yamim, describing the base Hamigdash, we weren't always doing Ratzon Hashem. And therefore, that's why it's described, Penem El Habayis. All the Rishonim here ask two questions. There is a Gemara in Mesechas Yuma. The Gemara there, the two Gemaras about the Kruvim, the placement of the Kruvim, two places. Baal Basra Tzadites, 99, what's 99? You gotta go the extra mile for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If you want Hashem to be looking at you, Pnei Mishal Achiv, right? You want it to be looking at you, you can't stop at 99. You gotta go above and beyond. So we remember where the Gemara is, right? And the other Gemara is, gotta figure out another Numana for that one, Yuma Nundalad. Yuma Nundalad, the Gemara also describes there, the placement of the Kruvim. But says the Gemara, Amar of Katina, Bishai Yishai Yisrael Olo L'Regel. When Bnei Yisrael went to be Olo L'Regel, Megalalin Lemes HaParoches. They pushed away the Paroches, the curtain, in front of the Kodesh Kodashim. Umarin Lemes HaKruvim. And they showed Kla Yisrael. Right? Some say it was only the Kohanim. Now, how many Jews could see, if they're, even if they're in, the Yisraelim are only allowed to go into the first 11 amos on the east side of the Azara. So then there's another 11 amos until you get to the Mizbeach. Then you have the entire Mizbeach blocking the view into the Hechal. Then you have the Hechal. Then you have the Kodesh Kodashim. So we assume they didn't take the Aron out. It doesn't say that. It just says they rolled out the Paroches. So maybe it was B'derach Neis that everybody saw it. Right? Umar Alam is a Kruvim. Right? They showed them the Kruvim. Shoyim Urim Zebazeh. They were entangled with each other. They were hugging each other. See how much Hashem loves you. Right? That is the Gemara there. And they did this in the times of Aliyah Larega. So based on that, we have a number of questions. Ask the Gemara. The Gemara says, what do you mean here? It says either they're not looking at each other or they're facing front. There it says they were hugging each other. Right, even more than what our Gemara says. Right, v'ilu b'Gemara b'seches Yuma. Right, mu'urin zebazeh. Right, so says the Ritva here. It was an Eiz Gamor. B'shas Aliyah L'Regel. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to show us how much He loves us. So they weren't even only just looking at each other; they were hugging each other. V'yesh lomer di'ahin Eiz Gamor hayanasa lahem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu misratza lahem ba'aliyasam l'Regel. Umar lahem chiba yisera kimechabek adam lachavero. Umenashko. Right, amazing, right? Just like the miracle, you know, the Gemara elsewhere says earlier there, talks about the lechem aponim. Right, they took out the lechem aponim to show it was still hot and fresh and steaming, as if a week later, as if it had just gone on to the shulchan. That is the Ritva here. But then the Ritva also, but we don't have to look at the Ritva, the Rimigash. Our Rimigash, quoted by the Rishonim, the Ramban and the Rashi, they all quote this Rimigash, but it's right here. The Rimigash quotes his Rebbe, quotes the Rif. The Rimigash quotes, but I have another problem, that if you look later on in the same Gemara, there in the Yuma, Nun Dalet, it says, Bishas Churban, what did the enemy do? Amar Reish Lakish, the top of Nun Dalet on the base. Bishash Nichnasu Nachrim Lahechal, when they went into the base of Migdash, assumption, this is the Romans, second base of Migdash, Ra'u Kruvim Hamu'urin Zebazeh. They saw the Kruvim hugging each other at the time of Churban Beis HaMikdash. Hotzion Lashuk, and they took it out to the market. V'yamru Yisrael Halalu. Sheber, I guess if it's second base of Migdash, there were no Kruvim, as we just said. So I guess first base of Migdash. Vavel, or maybe the standing Kruvim there were, and there's the Kruvim on top of the Aron there weren't. It's Kasha. Or this opinion holds that it wasn't buried. Either way, Hotzion Lashuk V'yamru, Yisrael Halalu Sheberchasen Bracha V'klasen Klala Yaskim Zerem Halalu. They took these crew and they were hugging each other and they said, you call this Kedusha and sanctity, the most holy place, look what's there, a hugging. Miyari Zilum, and they brought Bnei Yisrael down and they were mezalzel them and disgraced them based on a pasuk in Eicha in the first parak. Kol Mechabdei Zilu Akiro Arvasa. What's the pshat of that chazal, just by the way? They couldn't understand how there could be Kedusha in the physical. A male and a female hugging each other, that's disgusting, that's horrible, right? The other religions believe that any relationship between a man and a woman is terrible, it's dirty, it's disgusting. But we obviously believe otherwise. We say, no, that's called Kiddushin. That's called Kedusha. If you have the ultimate, and that's the mashal of the relationship between a Kodesh Baruch Hu and Am Yisrael, that's what all Shir Shirim is about. Right? And we say it's Kodesh Kadashim. Rabbi Kiva says Shir Shirim is Kodesh Kadashim, not just Kodesh. And that's why they were hugging. They couldn't understand that. But either way, for our purposes, what's the Kasha? What do you mean? I thought, by Ein Osen Ritzono Shamakom, they're not looking at each other. And they're just facing front. Takadakamara say, Bishas Churban Beis HaMikdash. Right, it was just the opposite. So, says the Rimigash, two opposite answers. Says the Rimigash, two opposite answers. Number one, here we go, Nami. But when the Akum went in, also Hayim Ma'urim Maisenes, Kimosha Ma'urim B'shash Olam L'Regel. Why? Number one, Hashem wanted to make sure that they, the Goyim, knew how much Hashem loves us. Even though Mitzidenu, right, it would have been appropriate not to be facing each other, but that's a private thing between the Jews and Hashem. It's nobody else's business to know when there's an issue in the relationship. So Hashem miraculously made it hugging, laharos la'aka mahaisa chibas yisrael lefnei makom, number one. Or the opposite. Or it's part of the zilzal, as the Gemara says. It wasn't a good thing. He made it this way so they can be mezalzel asinami k'dilaharos ervasam la'akum k'deisha yazilum shenera kol mechabda hiziluha ki ra'u ervasa. So two opposite deis in the Rimigash, what the pshat is. Maybe one or two other haras. If you look in the Torah Tamima in the end of Dvarim as a commentary on Eicha, in the end of Dvarim. So there on this pasuk, he quotes maybe up until the last moment. Hashem, it was, let's say, Pneim Labayas. But often he says, right, yeah, at the moment of Preda, the moment of separation, let's say you have two people who are separating for a very long time. So the last moment, all the hargashas and the emotions are felt, and you have to like give a hug at the last second. You have to, before the moment of separation, there's such emotion that is brought up. Yeshlomar da'oz be'es ha'preda kaviyachol nis'atzma ha'ahava yoser v'yoser. Kemosha matzinu ba'ohavim ne'emanim asher ne'ensu al yedei eza siba lihiparid zemizeh. Afilu alzman muat nis'or az ha'ava b'neihem b'yavasam ha'primis tiskala az le'enkol u'kemosha matzinu b'david v'yonasan. By David and Yonasan, be'es shenifridu zemizeh, what lashon does the Navi use? Vayifku ze'etzeh, vayishku ze'etzeh. David Higdil, right? They gave a hug to each other, kissed each other because they were leaving right now. They didn't know if they would ever see each other again. And that was where the emotion came up. Again, there's so much more here. There's so much that we could do. Rav Chaim Shmuel Levitz has a sicha where he talks about often when a parent or anyone gives tochacha, dafka in the tochacha, you have to show ahava, and that's why also maybe that they were hugging each other at the highest moment of the tochacha. Kadosh Baruch Hu was b'shas churban abayis. He was showing his love for us. Right, there's a lot that could be said regarding these issues. Maybe one final point, and then we'll move on. And that is the why Dafka Kruvim, says the Rav Pinkus in Parshas Re'eh, Bir Ha'inyan Nireh. He quotes, he says, what type of love is meant by these kruvim? What is it meant to teach us? He says, "Bira and yinira, shekol ha'ava he totsa me'akaras hamalo me'akaras hashayochas." Usual, most love is based on intellect. Intellectual, meaning if I don't know who you are, then I'm not going to love you. The more I get to know you, then I enjoy that relationship more. Ha'av afim yiras benolo fnei enav im eni yodeshu benolo yimashich elov lo yargish shum ava klapa v'teva. If a father meets a son, what if he doesn't know his son? Right, my father met his father after the war, after 7 years, my father was 3 years old. He met his father when he was 10 years old again. He had no idea what he looked like. He was three. He was introduced by a captain of the boat that brought my father. And he was introduced. They wouldn't have been introduced. Oh, who are you? I have no idea. So it's only because there's a hakara, there's intellect that causes the love. But regarding a love of a zachar and an akeva, sometimes in a negative way, ha'ayin ro'eh v'halev chomed, there's a more magnetic pull. But explains the Rav Pinkus, used in a positive way, when a Jew comes to the Beis HaMikdash to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there's a magnetic pull, even if he can't understand it. And that's what we mourn, that we still don't have a Beis HaMikdash. Al kein golem ha'paroches, they roll away the paroches. They show the love to Klal Yisrael of a Zacharin and a Keva to show it's not just based on intellect. It's based on this magical magnetic pull. HaKadosh Baruch Hu o'avo u'mechabavo machmas re'ia greida. Yeirah ekol zechorcha, just come. Lir haros l'fnei Hashem yisparach. Then he says, v'gam bezman hazeh, gam b'li toru tfila im rak mara adam as asbo l'fnei Hashem yisparach v'beis ha'knesus v'beis ha'medrish miz orer hu ava gadole love me'abore yisparach. Again, this is one of the major agadic lines in all of the Masechta. Right here, Babastra Tzadik Tes. But now we get back to issues of more mundane matters, so to speak. Mishnah. Mishi Eishlo Bar Lifnei Mivezo Shechaveiro. Somehow, I have a pit that is within, on the other side from the, I have to go through your house to get to my pit. Either I bought the pit, or we split the property and I took the pit and you took the house. Either way, I have to get through your house. So Nichnas B'Shash Derech B'Ri Adam Nichnasim, V'Yosei B'Shash Derech B'Ri Adam Yotzim. I'm only allowed to go through your house to get to my pit at times when it's normal for people to go in and out. Rashbam says, daytime. Or the Aruch HaShulchan adds, Bizman HaZeh, it would be totally on the minhag. maybe even after nighttime when people are still awake. That's the language of the Aruch HaShulchan. When people are awake, that's what the halacha is. Veino machris behemto, but even though I could go get water, I can't bring my animal in traipsing through your living room to go get the water. Right, I have to bring the water and then bring it back out. I have to take it outside. What does that reflect? Says the Yad Ramah. We haven't had a Yad Ramah in a long time. Says the Yad Ramah. It reflects that there's no real bailus here. It's not like I own the derech in through your house. Shaminan demand de isle derech al reshuso shel chavero likanis ba le reshus atzmo lo kani ba el shibuda ba alma lemeal umefik begava avol gufa daara lo kani adeparish le mare b'shas kenyan. It's not a kenyan aguf. It is a shibud. I'm allowed to. V'zeh osulo pasachas. V'zeh osulo pasachas. And they each can make a lock. Where are they going to make a lock? The Gemara is going to talk about it, right? Who's making a lock here? Let's say the Baal HaBar can make a lock on his water so nobody steals the water. But why should the Baal HaBayis make a lock somewhere? So, Posachas Lahecha, what kind of lock is the Baal HaBayis making? So, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Shneim Labor. They're both making a lock on the bor. Why? Bishlama Baal HaBar Boilish Tamure Maya Debore. The owner of the pit doesn't want anybody stealing his water, so he puts a lock. So, nobody steals his water. Ela balabayis lamali. What does the balabayis have to put a lock on the water? Amr balazar mishum chashad ishto. What does that mean? Because we don't want this man, the Baal HaBar, coming at a time when the Baal HaBayis is not home, and it'll end up he'll be alone with his wife, and therefore 2 days in the Rishonim. What exactly is meant here? The Meir, the Nemuki Yosef says you're going to be mosi laz on his wife. People are going to know that the man's coming in and he's something, what's happening at night. Therefore, if he puts a lock on the water, so then you're never going to come in unless I'm home. Right? Because it's never going to be problematic. There'll be choshed. If you look in the Meiri, he has a different shot. He says, no. He, the husband, is going to get all jealous. Not for Laz, other people. Roe, he says, kina, the language of the Meiri. Language of the Miri is Shelo Yavo Zel Lishov Baochein Balabai Sham Yigrom Lo Lios Ruach Kina Lovashto. Right? It's gonna cause problems in the relationship. I'm gonna be choshed my own wife, says the Meiri. Not just other people are gonna be choshed the wife. And also you're not gonna have any more excuses about, oh, I was trying to get the water. No, it's gonna be locked. So therefore you don't have any excuse why you are there. Okay, there's what to say on here, but let's continue, and then we'll see later on. There's a discussion about if anybody's allowed a yichud and other issues, not for now. Says the Mishnah, Mishiyeshlo gino lefnimi gino sashachaveiro. That was about if you have a bor on the other side of your friend's property. What if you have a gina inside from the gina of your friend? So again, you have to go through your friend's gina in order to get to yours. So again, what's the case? Either yarshim, you split it up, or partners that had split it up, whatever the case is, how it got to this situation. So nichnas b'shash derech b'nei adam nichnasim, v'yotzei b'shash derech b'nei adam yotzim. So you can go in and out when it is accepted to go in and out. V'eino machlis l'tocha tagarin. You cannot bring in merchants to go into your gina through your friend's field. That's not acceptable. And let's say you have a different field that you don't have to go through your friend's field, gina for, but you're just using it, it's convenient. Then you can't go to your friend. You can only go through your friend's field, not just as a shortcut, but only when you don't have a choice. So now the question is, that outer gina, the way you get there, so can anybody plant there? I'm allowed to walk through, but it really belongs to you, as the Yad Ramah just described. So, says the Mishnah, V'hachitzon zorea es haderech. The outer one, he owns it, so he could plant there. Even though once in a while you're going to be trampling on it, but he's allowed to plant there. Language of the Rashbam, D'kivan de'be'emsa sadeyuhu, anan sahadi, de'lo machalo haderech mikol v'kol, shelo yuchal lizroasham. Anan sahadi, it's obvious. Literally, we are the witnesses. It's obvious that I'm only giving you allowance to go through when you need to go through. But if you don't need to go through, I'm planting here. It's mine. Right? Chitza zoreas aderech. Nasu lo derech menatzad midashnehem. What if Bezdin was involved? And they gave a derech to go through on the side, and both agreed to it. So in that way, nichnas b'shashu rotze, v'yotzi b'shashu rotze umachnis, I'm sorry, b'shashu rotze, as there, as we said, they could go through only when it's acceptable, but there umachnis l'tocha tagarin. There merchants are allowed through. That was the assumption, part of the agreement, when Bezin got involved. V'lo yikanis b'tocha l'tocha tzacheretz, but you still cannot go through just for a shortcut. V'zeh v'zeh, eidan rasham l'zara. And there, the outer one cannot plant there. Because once the agreement was, we'll do it on the side, and this will be my way in, I don't want to have to worry about stepping on any of your stuff or getting hurt by any of your stuff. So therefore, you're not allowed to plant there. Period. Amar Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel Ama Beis Hashlachan Ani Mocher Lecha. So other issues. What if I say I am selling you, and you're able to have like an aqueduct, an Ama Beis Hashlachan, which is going to bring water to help irrigate my field? It's a Beis Hashlachan Ani Mocher Lecha. So what's the width of the area that I have to give you? What's the assumption? So no sein lo. Remember what we said when we started all these middle prakim of the Masechta. This is all where there's no minhag. If there's a minhag in town for any of these things, you go by the minhag of the town, as the Rambam said. But this is where there is no minhag, so Chazal's giving you rules. So no sein lo beis amos latocha va'ama mikan la'agpe. So it itself is two amos, and then there's one ama of earth on either side for the banks in order to strengthen the walls of this aqueduct. Ama beis hakilon ani mocher lecha. What if I need, well, the agreement was a water source, so to speak, an ama, but just to bring water to a ponds that I use, a beis hakilon, so then you don't need as big. No sin lo ama achas latocha, v'chatzi ama mikan v'chatzi ama mikan la'agfei. Okay, a little smaller. V'ozen agafai mizoram, similar question to what the Mishnah said. So those banks, it's my field, but now you could have an ama through it, then you have some banks across. So who's allowed to plant in on those banks? Who's mizaram? So Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel, palasada zaram. I allow you to have those banks in order to strengthen your aqueduct, but it's not yours. Similar idea. It's meshubah to you, but it's not yours. Kenyan aguf. So the balasada can be zareya. Rav Nachman Amar Shmuel, balasada notam. Not zaram seeds, but notam planting like trees. Which hurt the ground less, because the roots of the trees go all the way down, and it's going to be less of a hezek towards the ama. So the Gemara says, "Manda amar zaram." If you say that you could be zorea there, seeds kol shegei notam, surely notia, because that causes less damage. Umanda amar notam aval zaram lo. But if you say the manda says notia, it could be dafka says notia, but not zoria. Why? Chilchule mechalchule, because that's going to hollow out and weaken the walls next to the ama, and therefore that's not acceptable. Period. V'yama Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel. Amas amayim shekalu agafeha misakna miyosa sada. If it collapsed, maybe one of the ama, the walls collapse, he could fix it up from the earth that is in the field. I don't have to bring earth from somewhere else. I can take the field, I can assume that the earth that's next to it is the earth that fell down, and I can fix it from that field. I can assume that it fell down right there in that field. Maskev l'rapapa v'lemale, but why can't he claim mayach ashpeluha la'arach? Maybe some of the water carried your dirt downstream, and therefore, this dirt here is mine. Go bring your own dirt to strengthen the wall. Maybe who says this is your dirt? Right? Meaning, if you have at least a possibility of that, hamotze mechaver olav araya. So therefore, you should have to bring your own dirt. So elamar af papa, no. Okay, fine. Maybe it's not that dirt. Maybe some of it went downstream, but you know what? Shalmanas kein kiba olav alasada. That was part of the original agreement. That if it falls down here, I could take the dirt and strengthen the walls of the ama. Okay, let's just do the Mishnah, and Be'ez Hashem, then we will, a lot to talk about on the Mishnah, and then we'll continue, tomorrow. Misha, he said, Derech HaRabim Overes HaTok Sadeyu. All kinds of cases where, there is a Derech of A in B. So, first Mishnah we just had, it was a private, but what about this case? You have a public thoroughfare, a Derech HaRabim Overes HaTok Sadeyu, goes through your field. Notzlav and Nasalem and Atzad. What if I've had enough? People use my, path to go to Shul. Right, there to use a shortcut through my yard. You know what? I really don't want them to do this. So I switched. I moved it to the side. I moved it to the side and I closed up. So the middle one. Guess what? I lose on both counts. Again, we're not paskin. You can't paskin from here. Every situation is different. You have to ask the local, posek. But the Mishnah says, what he gave, meaning the new path is to the public and the old path is also to the public. Right, that's the, it's quoted here. The Baal Amar says we don't paskin like this Mishnah. Because it's all a mechila betaus, and we paskin mechila betaus is not a mechila, so you could go back to what it was earlier. You don't lose on both counts. He says, we don't pass like this mission. This mission is against the opinion that we don't hold all of. Okay, but either way, that's the first line. Derech hayachid, how wide is, if you have a certain amount, if somebody sells a field to their friend, and you have to give him a certain amount to get through, so you have to give him derech hayachid dalat amos. The assumption is that it is dalat amos wide enough for a wagon to go through. Derech harabim, so what's reshus harabim generally? Shesh esre ama, 16 amos. Derech hamelech, if a king, do whatever he wants. Ein lashir. Derech hamelech ein lashir, as we're going to see in the Gemara. Derech hakever ein lashir. What exactly is derech hakever? The Rashbam says there was a takanas chachamim for the covet of the mesim, for the niftarim, if they have to go through your yard to get to a beis hakvaris or people to go to visit. So also ein lashir. Hamaamad. What about the maamad where they have the special place where they stand after the burial? Da'ani tzipori amru beis arba kavin. That's the area that is required. When we talk about the zchuyos of a melech, just to finish up with this last point, the zchuyos of a melech and the melech itself, that is an inyan that all the Rishonim deal with, both in Sefer Parsha Shoftim and in Sefer Shmuel. Sefer Shmuel describes, you know, is a melech a good king or not a good king? There's a mitzvah in the Torah. Som tasim alech a melech. What's controversial and unusual is that if you look at Shmuel Hanavi's reaction in Perek Ches of Shmuel Aleph, he is extremely angry. And Hashem is extremely angry that Bnei Yisrael asked for a king. But what do you mean? It's a mitzvah tasei daraisa. Som tasim alech a melech. There are many, and here, the melech can do whatever he wants. The Gemara has a machlokes in Sanhedrin. Is it a reshus? Is it a mitzvah? Is it a melech? Was it a threat that Shmuel made to them? You know what a king's going to do? Or was it an allowance? Right? Was it true or not? Okay, where it talks about that. But is a melech something good or not? So there are many different approaches. The doc there in Paraches of Sefer Shmuel Aleph, I'm not going to read it inside, but he quotes that a couple of approaches. Number one, a melech is fine, but they wanted it for the wrong reasons. K'chol agoyim asher svivotai. Right, you want to be like the nations of the world. That's not why you have a king. The language of the Navi. Sim lanu melech l'shaftenu kichol hagoyim. Peraches pasakei in Shmuel. So that is that was the problem. Number one. Or the Radak also says that at the time that they asked, it reflected a lack of belief in the true melech. Right, what do you mean? What? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not good enough for you. The melech malchei amlachim. Right, a reflection of a lack of emunah. Others say, the Meiri writes in Harios, that a king is a good, but at the right time. The time wasn't ripe yet. Right, Malchus Beis David, where real Malchus comes from, that wasn't ready yet. Right, that's why they had one from Shevet Binyan, they had Shaul. But he was an in-between measure. But Malchus Beis David, you're right, but it was a good idea at the wrong time, the Meiri says in Harios, right? And now there are other suggestions also. The Malbim there suggests that beautiful idea that maybe a melech is only needed when the Bnei Yisrael are functioning b'derech hateva. At a time when it was still b'derech neis, that's not when you need a melech. And it was still b'derech neis at that time with Shmuel Hanavi, and that's why it wasn't. And there are others as well, other pshatim as well, but those are a few. But that's derech hamelech mentioned here. Okay, we'll stop here. Again, today's shiur, and with shiur is sponsored in memory of Mira Bazukar, the mother of Mindy Orlinsky, sponsored by the Orlinsky family. We thank them for the sponsorship. Neshama Shav and Aliyah.